go.
Good to go. Okay. Okay, so I mean, last time we were doing Perek Rishon, Mishnah Yud. So we did the thing. The first part of the Mishnah is Ehel Vesa Malacha. Right? So he said that means the person should love Malacha because he should not enjoy a state of dependency, but he should be happy to be independent. Okay? And we mentioned Sonen Matanas Yechia, a person. The same idea that a person that loves presence, it is a attitude of dependence. It's not good for a person to have an attitude of dependence. Okay. And then we also mentioned that dependence affects you how you could function in this world, but it also really affects you in the next world, because a person that is dependent on others is not really free to think. He can't exercise in free thought, because free thought demands that I'm not concerned if I come up with an idea that will offend other people. You know what I mean? He has to be able to be free to think whatever thoughts, whatever ideas make sense to him. Those are the ideas he's going to accept. And if his livelihood depends upon another person's happiness, another person's approval, that's a very difficult thing to do. He has to watch out what philosophies he endorses, because he doesn't want to insult his patrons. So it affects him not only in the material wise, but really in terms of ideas. It limits his ability to really grow in terms of ideas. Okay?
So it could depend on your patron is a Baal Bas or a Chacham.
That's right. Exactly. If your patron is a Baal Bas, you're going to have problems. But if your patron is a Chacham, it's a different kind of arrangement.
Right.
Okay. And also, if you need patronage, because we said there were Chachamim that had arrangements with other Chachamim that they would support them. But what it's telling you here is not actually whether you accept the situation of somebody else helping you. It's a question of whether you need that. Does that satisfy a need in you that you can only function if somebody else is taking care of you? Or no, it just so happens you're in a situation where another guy appreciates what you're doing and he's a chacham and he's willing to help you out. That's a different type of thing. That's not loving matanos. You know, a person could be a son of matanos and still accept a matana because it's rational. But he's not, it's his attitude is not one where he needs the matana. If he wouldn't have that situation, he'd be very happy. He's really independent minded. That's the main thing. Okay? So the other thing was, now you see Rabbeinu Yonah has an interesting thing. Okay? He says like this. He says that atzlus, okay? The idea, a person that has the trait of laziness, okay? He says that is what the Mishnah is referring to. Okay? So he says like this. He says, if a person gets used to not working, then it's hard for him to get himself motivated to work. Okay? But then he says like this, an interesting thing. He says in Mishlei, he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Mechoref Otzel Lo Yachrosh Veshav Bekatzer Va'ayim. Okay, so in the winter, an atzel, a lazy person, doesn't want to go out into the field and plow, and you know the weather is not good. It's not good. He doesn't, you know, it involves work, toil, and it's uncomfortable, and he doesn't want discomfort. So when it comes time to plowing, he's not that diligent. Okay, but then what happens is obviously when the harvest comes along. Then the situation, he's interested. His interest is piqued. He would like to participate in the harvest. But of course, he doesn't really have any harvest. Okay? So it says, Shehu Choshev. Okay, so he's saying like this. You see, Rabbeinu Yonah says like this. What is the man thinking? Because obviously, I mean, the Mishnah is telling you something that's pretty obvious. I mean, if you're not going to plow, I mean, you're not going to have a harvest. I mean, you don't have to be a big strategical chacham to know that, right? So what's the idea? God thinks when he, well, it's, 3 months from now, magically, there's going to, crops are going to appear. So he says like this. He says, Shehu Choshev, he thinks, Kipa Menucha, Yiyalo Menucha. That through rest, through, what do you call it, leisure, he will arrive at leisure. Okay? He says, Vehu Hefech. It's the exact opposite. Kipa Menucha, Yiyalo Yigea. Through leisure, he attains, work, hard work. Okay, exertion. Through leisure, he attains exertion. Ki mipnei ha-charef yanuach, because of the cold weather, he refrains. V'yama bebeso, stays in his warm house. V'lo yachrosh, doesn't plow. V'shal bekatzir, then it comes time harvest, he's looking for food. Laso fatfua. V'ayin, and he has no tvua, he has no produce. V'yamas barav, he'll die in famine. Aval achorish b'choref, the oved admaso, but a person that does the work, he does the plowing, okay, yis b'lachem, so he'll have plenty of bread. Okay, he says ki ein adam masig la menucha ach b'yegia tchila. A person only arrives at leisure through first working. Okay. So what is he saying? I mean, obviously, if a guy, like we said, a guy sits around and doesn't plow, there's not going to be any harvest. I mean, so what does he mean? A person thinks that through leisure, I mean, did the man think that through leisure, through not harvesting, he's going to have more leisure? I mean, obviously, he's going to then be in trouble.
What does it even mean? It says, Shehoshev ki b'amenucha yelo menucha, v'hefach ki b'amenucha yelo yigia.
That's right.
He doesn't even explain the yigia that...
He doesn't explain. Through menucha, through leisure, he's going to attain a situation of exertion. Okay. So, I mean... Right, obviously. He's not going to have to run around and do what he has to do, beg and somehow put together some kind of food and struggle to make ends meet because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Okay. Right? But what is the big deal? Right?
It doesn't necessarily seem ideal, but it would be possible. Like, it's not the ideal situation for a person, but for a person to be doing that, it's not like it's the end of the world.
Right, now so that was his cheshbon. Right. His cheshbon, I mean, he didn't maybe spell out explicitly, but his cheshbon is, okay, I'm working out somehow. You know, that guy, next door, the field's pretty good. I don't think he needs all of those crops. I mean, you'll see, come harvest time, the guy's going to realize he doesn't need so much. So I'll somehow manage to get it off of him. Okay, so it's a cheshbon. So maybe that's a good cheshbon. If the guy's lucky, I mean, that's true. That is the guy's cheshbon. You take it easy, then you'll see you wouldn't have to work so hard. Guys that work so hard, they're working all the time. But take it easy, you'll see things will work out. Right? So you take it easy, and in the end, you'll be okay. Right? But the thing is, what he's saying is like this. In other words, it's true that there is that cheshbon. But really, really, the idea is, you see, a person that, he's not, you see, a person should love leisure. As I'm saying, a person should love leisure. But the thing is that who is the real lover of leisure? It's really the hard worker. You see, because a person that takes it easy, you see, he's irrational with regard to his leisure. Because what happens is, he takes it easy, he doesn't go out and do what he needs to do, and in the end, he ends up, he really has to work harder. He really ends up working harder. Because the guy who plows and puts in a lot of exertion, okay, then what happens is, he can take it easy. Because then he's put all the forces in place, and the things are working for him. Then when it comes time, that everything, he's arranged everything properly, the man really could take it easy. But the guy that doesn't do that, the net result is he's really ending up working harder. Because it's really much harder work. Because what does a guy have to do? Let's say a guy doesn't have the wherewithal. He has to run around and kill himself and run after people and do all kinds of things to get what? Like a nickel. He's not going to get the real bounty, so each guy is going to give him, okay, I'll give you a little grain. This guy will give him a little grain. The guy will run around doing three times the work to make half of the return. That's really, and that's what you see in general, that a person that prepares, that works out everything, you know, in terms of his life. So once it's worked out, that's it. I mean, the guy has to work, but basically he's able to reap the benefits. But a guy that takes it easy and didn't work anything out, you see, it's true. He may not have to do the same kind of work as the other guy, but he's running around all day long to make a nickel. Because he's dependent on this guy, dependent on that guy. He goes to meet this guy to collect money, and that guy doesn't show up. So the guy spends his whole day running around looking for a living, and what does he make in the end? He makes, you know, a quarter of what he would have made had he been in a situation where, had he worked things out, it may have been a lot of effort, but then he's got things kaseder, you see? So that's really what he's saying. He's saying that a person looks really at a lazy guy as, oh, that guy just loves leisure. He's not a hard worker. You see? But the answer is really on the contrary. Rav Yonah is saying, it is a good thing to love leisure. You should love leisure. But if you love leisure, you should work things out. You should work hard when the opportunity presents itself, and then you will really get leisure. But if you love leisure, don't take it easy, because you'll achieve the exact opposite. You'll end up with a life of exertion and no return. Interesting thing. that's really what it's saying. It's saying the net outcome is you'll have to exert yourself much more if you just function leisurely without any plan. You're going to end up working much harder for less. That's the thing. All right. So that's according to Rabbeinu Yonah. That's the idea of Eves HaMalacha. That a person should be rational with regard to his leisure. Okay? And the definition of a lazy man is not that he loves leisure, but the definition of a lazy man is irrationality with regard to his leisure. He takes the leisure at a time which is the most, is the least opportune. Okay? That's really the... See, so when the parent tells the kid, don't be lazy, you see? The parent should really tell the kid, you should be lazy, but you should have rational laziness. If you want to be lazy, now is the time to exert yourself.
Can you maybe say a little further? Because he's put his whole thing together. In the beginning, he's talking about laziness, and then he proves that if you get used to not working, then you'll continue to not work by going into this pasuk. He's really distinguishing between laziness and menucha. You could think they're the same thing. So like right. Both cases, you know, you're sitting on the beach with a beer, like they're both really good.
That's right.
But one case is laziness, and one case is menucha. That when you think that the lounge chair will get you another lounge chair.
Right, right.
That's laziness.
That's laziness.
Because real menucha is the cycle of working and resting, working and resting.
Right, that's
true. There's no such thing as real resting.
That's true.
By itself, only as part of the cycle. If you think that it's real resting, then it's laziness.
Right, well, that's true too. You mean just pure rest is not, the guy's not going to enjoy that. He has to have a cycle.
Right.
That's true. That is true. I mean, both are true. That's true. The laziness, you can't really enjoy the laziness because there is no cycle.
Yeah.
Right. But in addition to that, the laziness is really an irrational irrational approach to menucha. Really, menucha is the thing a person wants. He doesn't want, you don't, really, you don't want laziness. Raisin is just the irrationality with regard to menucha. That's a good point. All right. So next in the Mishnah. Okay, Mishnah says, Suno es harabanus. A person should hate leadership. Okay. So you should love halacha, hate leadership. A lot of missions into extreme attitudes. Love and hate. Right? Okay.
Never.
Okay. Okay, so why should you hate leadership? So you have a few different possibilities here. Any suggestions why you should hate leadership? See, Rashi doesn't give you too much. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lefi shemekaberes es balea." Okay, leadership buries its owners. Okay, those people that become leaders don't it's not good for your health. Not good for your health. It's dangerous to your health. Okay. He says, "Kira amar mar mibnei ma meis Yosef kodem echav mibnei shenihag atzma barbanus." Okay, so the Gemara says, why did Yosef, was one of the youngest, right? And yet he died first before all the other brothers. Why? So the Gemara says, because he was in the Rabbanus. He was a leader. And leadership kills you.
The stress.
That's right. Why is there so much stress in being a leader? Why is this such a... It's true. It is true. Why is leadership involved so much stress?
Because now you have to care for so many people. So many people depend on you. You're taking care of the things for a group of people rather than your own family and yourself. It's a huge amount of responsibility.
That's true. It's a huge amount of responsibility. It's a very difficult job. Okay? But is it okay? So you're taking care of people. You have to make decisions for many people, right?
And you have to restrain yourself, because in order to be a proper leader, you have to be completely controlled. Okay. So that requires a huge amount of effort, also.
Okay, good. So what are the elements? Why is it, so? Where is the stress exactly? In other words, making decisions for a lot of people, you could say, okay, so if a guy knows what he's doing, he's going to make the right decision. I mean, if you make the wrong decision, I understand, that'll be stressful. But if you make the right decision, then if you're a chacham, right, and you decide properly, so then you should be okay, right?
Right.
But what's the other idea you're saying that you have to control yourself? Why do you have to control yourself?
Because if you want to be, if you're someone who's constantly under the limelight,
right,
and everyone looks to you, so then all your actions are scrutinized at all times,
right.
And furthermore, if it's a rabbanus in terms of like a Jewish position, like a rabbi or something, then you have to be completely perfected if you're going to be a role model. So those that requires a lot of effort.
You say that about every person. Every person is supposed to be. Striving for perfection.
True, but it's
only leaders are supposed to be.
But it's even more so, because you can never let your guard down.
You're
constantly in the limelight. Yeah, right.
It's not just being like a political perfected individual.
So that's a different thing. It's an effort in like putting on a show rather than being genuine.
Should be genuine, but sometimes it's possible you might have to fake it.
No, but even sometimes being genuine, like, could look bad, you know? Like, doing the perfected action is going to be perceived badly by your subjects or whatever.
Right.
So you have to somehow do it, and also, I don't know, like, be political about it, or, you know, I don't know.
Right. That's right.
Like, you can't just be perfected.
I mean, you do see that in those positions, it's a very difficult thing. Like, you just look at the rabbi of a shul. You see, it is not a... Why exactly is, I'm not sure, but it is not a simple task. Person figures, okay, he's, you know, he knows what he's doing, he knows halacha, he knows ideas, so he's going to take a position, be the rabbi of a shul. What could be so hard? He'll give drushes. He knows how to talk to people. And simply, that's it. Somehow or other, it doesn't, right? It becomes a very complex and difficult job. Right? I mean, for some reason, it always involves tremendous difficulties. Like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's it. God wanted him to be the leader. No, don't want it. Right? I mean, he knew that this is going to be, there's something inherent in the position that makes it practically impossible to do what you want to do. No, whatever it is you want to do. Right?
I think stress is always caused by like a tension or a conflict. So the conflict here is, well, there are two options. Either your subjects are already doing what you think they should be doing, and then there's no use for you.
Right.
And the only time you have to step up is when they're doing something that you think is wrong. So then you have to fight with them. And, or, you know, obviously you should do it in a proper way, but that is the job.
That is the job, right.
To try to implement something that people don't want to do.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
And you can't really control that.
And so you have no control. That's a good point. Because the job of the leader really is to straighten out the people. I mean, if the people are straight, everything's straight, they do everything, kill chasa, so you don't need a leader. What do you need a leader for? So the leader is, because there's a need in the community. The need is they have people that aren't straight, that the tzibur is not straight, so they need somebody to straighten them out. So by definition, you're in a situation where you're opposed to the people that you're working for. It's an inherent thing that you're on one side and they're on the other side. There's a direct conflict. If there's no conflict between you and them, then they don't need you. Right? So they only need you because you are going to stand in the way of them doing what they want to do. That is not a friendly situation. That is not a calm and easy situation. It's inherently a situation of stress.
But don't they want you to help them? I don't fully see that.
That's the thing. Right? So they hired you to help them, and because they want to do the right thing. If they want to do the wrong thing, then they don't need you.
Right.
Again, they're on the right path to evil. They don't need a leader. Right? So apparently they hire a leader because they say, we don't know what we should do. We don't know. Who are we? We don't know what the right thing is, so we need a person to tell us. Right, so on one hand, they want a person to guide them and give them the correct derech. Right, but on the other hand, if they're not on the correct derech, right, that means they're on the wrong way. That means they're following that way. So anything he tells them is going to go against their emotions.
It's very rare they say like they don't say like we're in big trouble. Just tell us what to do and we'll do it.
We'll do whatever you say. We know we're
we need
evil.
Your help.
Anything you want, we'll do. No. No. We know we need help. But on the other hand, we're basically pretty good people. We don't want any major changes here. Right? So how is such a conflict even possible? I mean, it's a psychosis. And as you have a person that's saying, I need help and I don't need help. How could you deal with that guy? What kind of a frame of mind is that altogether?
About the frame of mind.
That's right? What kind of a frame of mind is that, really? How could you have a person like that? Shouldn't the person say, well, one second, this is a contradiction?
Could it be, this is maybe like a step, but could it be they just want to have someone to attribute all their failures to?
That is definitely what he ends up fulfilling
really
that role. Right. He definitely ends up fulfilling that role. That is for sure. Right? But the question is, what kind of frame of mind is that? So the answer is, that is the frame of mind that every person really has. See, that's the frame of mind of conflict. That's the human frame of mind that a person has in him, opposing forces. The force of the instinctual and the force of the disciplined part of him, right? The voice of reason. Okay? So every person has that. That is what the human life is. It's a conflict between the force of the instinct and the force and the voice of reason that he has internally. And that's really the conflict he experiences every day as he goes through life. He has to stop himself. You see? And he wants to do this, I have to stop myself. You see? So the job of the rabbi is really to pick a person to represent that part of me that is the voice of reason. You know what I mean? So I realize I have to listen to that part of me. Okay? So let's get a guy that can enforce that element that we need. You see? So really, that's what the person's job is. To be that part that the person needs. That he has internally, but it doesn't do the job. So you need somebody that could be that voice of reason, you see. But inherent in the job is that person's job is going to take over for the internal force, the internal conflict, the internal stress that a person has. He's going to be thrown into that setup, you see. So now I'm going to relate to him the way, instead of fighting with myself, I don't have to fight myself anymore, you see. I got him. I fight with him, you see, and he's the guy that tells me the right things to do, and I fight with him because I know there's a part of me that doesn't want to do those things, you see. So that's really the role of the leader. The role of the leader is to take over for that internal struggle, but now he is going to be the guy that we're going to try to we're going to try to obey. It didn't work internally. You see, internally I see I can't follow the voice of reason. I can't do it. I mean, I'm just floundering. So I need something that will really be there to hold me back. You see, that's his job, really. You see, so it means to say he's appointed because there's a part of man that recognizes the voice of reason. You see, so he's appointed because of that faculty. But there's another faculty that's going to fight him. You see? And that's the voice of the instincts. You see? So that's why it's practically an impossible job. Okay? And the success of the job really depends on one thing. You see? On one thing. And what is that? What is the? Because you'll say it's an impossible job. I mean, his job is to discipline them, and they don't want to be disciplined. There's only one part of them that chose him, but basically a major part of them wants to do what they want. You see? So it's almost an impossible job. You see? But it depends on how he handles them. He's got to handle them in a way, you see, that they're willing to follow him. He can't come out in the image of the dictator. That's not going to work. He's got to, in some way, get them to relate to him and want to follow him. You see? So that's a very difficult thing. Because what it means is, I have to know the people, I have to know what, you see, how their emotions will become obedient. There is a way. A person has a rebellious emotion, but he also has emotions that he wants to follow and get the approval of the leader. You see, so he has to be able to cater to that emotion. That's a very difficult thing. You see, because every time he comes down hard, he risks losing them because they want his approval. That's really why they want him. They want his approval, and they're going to follow him as long as they feel that there's some kind of connection to him, and there's an emotional feeling that he's that he likes them, or that he, you know, whatever it is, certain kind of emotional draw. You see, so he has to appeal to that. That's the only way that he could really function. You see, so therefore, it's a very difficult task. That's really why it involves tremendous self-control, because what happens is he's saying rationally, "This is crazy." He can't talk straight to them. He can't say, "Ah, you did a crazy thing." Right, so he has to relate to them in a way that he doesn't break their identification with him, but yet he functions to discipline them. You see, that's a difficult thing. And no matter how much knowledge a person has, it's still very difficult. A very tenuous situation. So what happens is a person in that role doesn't really have too much leisure. He doesn't really have, you know what I mean? Like, it's a stressful thing.
So why should you hate it? I mean, it's a necessary thing for, seems like a thing that needs to be done if you're the guy to do it.
That's right. Why should you hate it? You'd say, on the contrary, this should be I'm doing a great thing. I mean, okay, it requires a lot of work. I'm sacrificing years of my life. But look, this is a great thing.
Yeah, maybe try to avoid it, but like hate it sounds like a funny way to describe it.
If you did it, you would hate it. You don't have to tell somebody.
That's right. If you do it, you will hate it. We don't, right. No necessity for an instruction here. Just try, you'll see what, right, why does it say you should hate it?
And does that mean you should be one of the Balabhadram?
Exactly. That's right.
Could it be talking about like the dictatorship type of a boss? Like, just trying to control people without sort of like giving them the suggestion so that they do it. Instead, like forcing them more.
Force, you mean exerting power, the love of power.
Right. Control, manipulation.
Right.
You know, it doesn't sound like a practical, ethical thing in Pirkei Avos stuff.
Why not?
Yeah.
See, that's the problem.
It doesn't even have to be a leader. It could be in any right. scenario. Like, just telling people to do something.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah, okay. That's good. That's good. In other words, what he's saying is that if you like it, it means you have a distorted view of what it is. That means to you it's just a game of power.
Right.
But in reality, it's a very difficult and painful experience.
Right. The only attractive part about the job is exerting the power.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Right.
If you're doing it for your self-interest, right, then okay, you might think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
Right. But really, see, that's like what it is, like it says, and one of the philosophers says, how is it possible to find a leader? It would seem to be impossible, because if the person wants the job, he's automatically disqualified, because that means that he's interested in power. Well, we don't want a leader like that. And if he is really a leader, a true leader, that is just going to function to help us, so then who would want that job?
Yeah.
He's just giving up his life to help other people. I mean, he has no personal life. He's gone. Who would want that? So he said it would seem impossible to find a leader. So he says no. The leader can only be a person that takes the job out of fear. Because he knows if he doesn't take it, the whole society is going to be destroyed. He'll be ruined. Because another guy is going to, a power monger is going to take it and ruin the country. So he's got to take it. He has no choice. Because that's the only way you'd get a leader, if he's forced into it, like Moshe Rabbeinu. But the prerequisite for a leader really is a person that hates the job. If he hates the job, then that's the guy you want. See, because then it means he has an accurate idea of what it is, and he's not interested in power. You see, so now he knows my whole job is to help these people. That's going to be a difficult task. That's right. Exactly. So therefore, that's what it's telling you, that if you hate it, then you have the correct alignment. You have a proper idea.
We could add one element, answer why it's juxtaposed to Ahava Samatha.
Yeah.
Because the question is, who's in power here? Who's dependent on who? So if you're there because you want the control and the power, then you might want to be a leader. But really, a good leader has no control over his success.
That's good.
His success is completely dependent on the other guy.
That's good.
So if you hate being the leader and realize that in this case the only success is dependent on him,
That's very good. That's very good. That's exactly right. Because you're right. Because the O of us, El of us, Malacha was because a person should hate a state of dependence. He should want to be an independent person. And when and exactly the opposite, when a person has to be a leader, what the person hates about it is now he is a total. His life is not his own. He's a total, in a sense, a total dependent. He's really a servant of millions of people. It's the worst possible existence. Every action has to be to help these people. Okay, so in terms of his attitude should be one where he wants his own life. He does not want to be a servant. So it's very good. It exactly fits in line with Ehov as a Malacha. You see, and really even a guy who would want the power. See, this we mentioned last week. Let's say a person wants to be a leader because he wants to be the most powerful person on earth. Right? So you say, okay, that guy is an independent-minded guy. He doesn't want to be dependent on others. He doesn't want to be taken care of by others. He wants to be powerful on his own. You see? But you see, it's not the case. Because how does a leader become powerful? Not by doing things that don't cater to others. The only way he becomes powerful is other people empower him. So he constantly has to watch what these other people are, make sure that he's doing things that are satisfying the right people. You see? So a person that gains power through politics, he's the most dependent person. That's why you find out. You see what Obama says. Every word he says is measured, not to insult this one, not to estrange this one, not to alienate that one, to draw this one in close, to line up all his power bases exactly as he needs them. He's the most dependent person on earth. The average guy can say whatever he wants. I don't care. Doesn't like gays. Goodbye. Doesn't like this one. Goodbye. Him? Oh no. Well, I could talk for 10 minutes and not say anything. This person is a total slave. See, that's the thing. That is the thing. So a person that loves that, it means because he's a slave mentality. He can't exist on his own. He needs to have others propping him up. So it's really the exact opposite of the way people look at it. They look at a leader as the most powerful person. He's really the weakest person. Without those people, it'd be nothing. It's an interesting thing. It's similar to actually what we were talking about, the Ganef. A person thinks like Ganef, oh, that guy's, he's able to go and steal, he doesn't care about anybody. He's really, on the contrary, it's the exact opposite. It means he can't fend for himself. He needs other people to support him. The only thing is, it's an enforced arrangement. He forces them to support him. But basically, he's a dependent.
That's why you should hate. You should hate the idea of being enslaved to other people. Is that what we're trying to? Is that
yes. That's what you should. That your attitude should be. You see, it doesn't mean hate Rabbanus that I'm not going to now do it. I mean, if I justice demands that I do it, I have to do it. But it means the attitude that's not something I'm running after, because in being enslaved to people, that means who are the people? Who's the being that you cater to, that you have to conform to? Man. You know what I mean? That's not what a person should do. A person has to conform to the Ratzon Hashem, to reality, to God's system, not to man's system. So a leader really has to conform to man. He has to make sure he's acceptable to man. That's a dependent state. Okay? That's not really what a person shouldn't exist that way. His reality should be God, not man, not what man thinks. What man thinks doesn't matter. You see, but if the guy has to take the job, if he's forced into the job, okay, so then he has to deal with those factors. That's part of reality. You see, but if he's running after it, that shows because to him, man is, what man thinks of him is the important thing. And if man gives him power, then he's powerful. Well, that's crazy. Yeah.
So from this, like, why would we say that it corrupts? Would you say that because some leader would feel so enslaved that he feels like he has to kind of extend his personality, like make himself feel tougher? That's why it becomes someone can become corrupt. Like, how would we answer that? Based on that.
What is corrupt?
Just saying, I'm saying that even Bar Kokhba, I think there's a number of leaders that.
Well, isn't that a corrupt idea right away? If I say that if man says I'm powerful, I'm powerful. Isn't that itself a corrupt idea? If I say I want to be powerful, and what is powerful? If man says I'm powerful, that makes me powerful. Isn't that a corrupt thing? That idea itself is a corrupt.
Is that the mentality though? Is that really the mentality?
That's the mentality. Because that's what a leader does. He goes around, right? He goes around and tries to get votes. Tries to get favors of people. People should favor him. Ingratiate himself to people. I'm not going to go around the campaign trail and vilify people.
So it's not like a leader necessarily.
He's going to say things that they want to hear.
We're talking about a specific... We're talking about political leader, though. Right?
Political.
Right. This is not... I mean...
These guys love it.
What other kind?
You get a huge rush.
I'm saying there's leader using example like Gandhi or something. He's not bound to any. I don't know why that's the first one that gets my somebody that people he inspires other people or whatever it is. People
Right. So maybe he hated leadership. Maybe he didn't want it. We're talking about a guy that loves leadership.
Goes out of his way, runs for office, or tries to gain a certain position of leadership.
That's right.
Not someone who's just thrusted into the position.
Like maybe Gandhi didn't want to be a leader. Maybe he just had certain ideas and people realized. I mean, I don't know anything about him, but I'm just saying there could be a person that had certain ideas that he had those ideas because he really believes in those ideas. And then people, and he's not really a public figure. He is not interested in being a leader. He hates publicity. But people, put him up there because they realize, hey, we need this guy.
Right.
So that's snellus or a bonus. You should not be running after. But if you're running after a bonus, so that means that the ideas that you have are not because you really believe in these ideas. Because if your main goal is to become a public figure, then that's your underlying motive.
So if acting as an independent person, if that somehow and you end up in some leader position, that's okay.
Right. That would be snellus or a bonus. Because if a person goes...
people attach yourself to that personality, right. Whatever it is.
Then that's snellus or a bonus. Because a person going to realize that, hey, now I might have a responsibility, but this is going to be a totally different thing than I wanted. I didn't want to be in a position where I have to fight with people and be involved in stress. I just wanted to pursue my ideas. You see? So that a person like that would not be happy at being a leader. He doesn't want it in public life. A person that's happy in the public life, that means the ideas are secondary. His underlying motive is he wants to be a popular and powerful person. Now, he'll adopt the ideas that will further that goal. You see, so that type of person really is subordinate to millions of people.
Right.
And that's a corrupt thing because... That's the idea itself is crazy, because how does that improve you? The fact that you the fact that people think you're good, does that make you good? No. So what are you doing?
Do you think that's is that a conscious thing, or is that somewhat?
They get a thrill from it. They love the power.
It's like a cognitive decision to, like, I want to be a leader because I want to be dependent on other people and slave to other people.
No.
It's just, I don't realize what that power.
No, that drive is unconscious, but you feel the effect consciously.
Right, it's ignorance.
The guy feels a thrill from that.
He doesn't put it in philosophic terms, but any person that is happy, I mean, you know, this is what I'm describing is a human trait, so we can't say that it's impossible to divorce ourselves with this, but any person that is happy at the approval of another person, right, is in a sense dependent. Now, it's impossible for a person not to be in that state because that's part of our makeup. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, if you take that emotion of wanting the approval of others and you make that into a whole, way of life, then what you're saying is that thing of wanting others to look up to me, that I, you know, when a person likes another person approves of him, it means, because now he feels good about himself. A person wants to feel good about yourself, right? So now if another person looks at me, oh, now I feel good about myself. And if everybody shuns me, I feel bad about myself.
It's all contingent on everybody.
Now he's taking that and he's making that into his life work. I mean, that's something that we say, okay, you have an emotion, but obviously a person on the highest level wouldn't care what anybody thought of them, because their self-worth is internal, not external. But, you know, who's on that level? None of us are on that level. So, of course, our self-worth hinges partially upon how other people look at us. But we don't make that into our, right? That's not our goal in life. Right? That's a side thing. But they're saying if it's you love or bonus, it means that's your goal in life. You see? So that's a very, that's not a good thing. Because you presume something that really is not true. Your self-worth has nothing to do with what the other guy thinks of you. It's just a feeling. But you can't give a real reality to that. Otherwise, whatever they think, that's what you do. That's your values. It's what they think. What kind of thing is that? So that's the thing. So the guy really on a high level, he would hate this position, because he gets no gratification out of what other people think of him. And therefore, it's total sacrifice.
Right.
But the only person that gets gratification is one that is on the level where his good feeling about himself is contingent on what other people think. Then he can get tremendous gratification. And the more dependent he is, the more satisfaction he gets. So a guy who really loves this is really the ultimate of dependent. So, I mean, it seems, right? That's it. Once again, it's the exact opposite of what you would think.
Yeah, because the mission is framing the pole, so saying, your attitude should be as independent as possible.
That's right.
And Snas Arabanos is that you should be, you should hate dependence. So, why do you need both? If you tell me hate dependence, then you could infer be independent, or tell me the other way.
Right.
But since it's telling you both, really there's some middle ground, because there are both. They're not one or the other is entirely bad in every way.
Right.
Like you're saying, like really the human being, you can't really be completely independent.
In practice, most people, but in other words, theoretically, it's possible. It's possible that a person could be that, because in the human race you have right variations, like whatever the bell curve, you know. Right. So you have variations. So most people fall in the middle, where a person has degrees of everything, right? But just like there are people on one end, extreme one way, there could be people that really are totally unaffected by what another person thinks. You see, because their self-worth is totally what they think. You see, that's because the human emotions are possible to, you could be pulled based on what you get satisfaction from. If a person gets total satisfaction out of ideas, then man to him is nothing. Doesn't care about man. You see, so the emotions are possible. It's possible to form the emotions because they're fluid. Person, if a person experiences a thing, that's where his emotions go. If he experiences a new thing, now the emotions withdraw from this and go to that. So the emotions are able to withdraw and to attach themselves to different objects. So that's why a person could improve himself, could reduce the amount he's dependent on others, or could increase the amount, depending on how he directs his energies. He increases his perfection or decreases it. Okay? So it's a theoretical question whether it's possible to be an absolute or that's impossible. I don't know. Maybe it's possible, maybe it's not. But it's a theoretical question. But the important thing for us, really, is to know that it is possible to change from imperfect to increase your perfection or to decrease your perfection. That is possible.
Why does Moshe need to tell us both?
It's a good question.
Maybe he wanted to characterize this kind of things, like bring out the idea about leadership specifically.
I could have figured that out. When last week we were talking about Ahovas and Malacha, we figured out that Ganav really is dependent. So.
Right.
So Ganav is stealing money, leader is stealing empowerment. Same thing.
Interesting jump.
What do you mean? Once you want to analyze, why would a guy want to be a leader? Maybe you mentioned Plato figured it out with that mission. Who's the real leader? The guy who doesn't want it.
Right. It's a good question. Okay. Think about it. Alright, let's think about it. Okay. Alrighty.